Hi, welcome everybody. Thanks for joining us today for our session on Outlook Web App. Is the sound okay for everybody, by the way? Can you hear fine in the back? Awesome. So thanks again for coming. My name is Eduardo Mello. I'm one of the lead program managers in Redmond, responsible for some of the features that you're going to see today during our session. And who are you?
I'm Paul Amon. I'm the group program manager on the Outlook Web App. So Eduardo and I work closely together on the engineering team.
What he meant to say was he's my boss. So these are the objectives that we had in mind for our session today. First and foremost, make sure that we give you a good overview of Outlook Web App in Exchange 2013, and also explain a little bit about why you may want to consider moving to Exchange 2013 and Outlook Web App 2013, if that's not something that's in your roadmap yet. We also want to demonstrate some of the new capabilities that we have in the product, in particular, a lot of the work that we've done to enable better offline access, as well as better touch experiences for both tablets as well as mobile phones. And we're going to talk a little bit also how you can both manage the way your users access OWA, as well as how you can extend OWA using the app platform that we also have introduced in the 2013 cycle. Now, this is what we had in mind when we put together the session, but maybe you guys also have some other things in mind that you'd like us to cover. Is there any particular topic or any particular area of the product that some of you have in mind and you want to make sure that we cover? Security? Any specific of security? In general? Okay. So security, what else? Okay, so we'll see what we can do in terms of covering security. If other topics come to mind during the session, feel free to ask questions. We'll do our best to take the questions during the session. If we can't for one reason or the other, we're going to be here after the session, probably outside, so we can take questions at that point as well. So, first of all, we thought it would be interesting just to sort of take a step back and talk a little bit about OWA and how it began all the way back in the Exchange 2000 release and how it has evolved over the course of the years and the different releases of Exchange. When we first introduced OWA, it was, to a large extent, as a companion to the Outlook client, as a way for people to effectively, if they are working or if they need to access their email from a kiosk or from some friend's house, just an easy way to get in, do something real quick, and then get out. It wasn't really designed to be the primary way or the only way in some cases for people to access their corporate email. But that was many, many years ago. And of course, over the course of the years, we have not only improved OWA to the point that today it can effectively be used as your primary or exclusive way to access your email, but also the landscape has changed quite a bit, right? Today, remote access and people working remotely, to a large extent, is more of the norm than the exception, right? People now do expect that they're able to access their email from any device, anywhere. And that device may or may not be a PC, right? In some cases, the only device that you may use to access your corporate email may be a tablet or a smartphone. And on that notion, another thing that has happened recently as well is the touch interaction and how touch becomes a first-class citizen or a very important way for you to interact with the software, right? And for touch interface, it's not just about making buttons bigger or things of that nature. To have a really first-class experience with touch, you really have to think about the user interface from the ground up and how you really make it optimized for touch from the very beginning, as opposed to something that you just do sort of at the end of a finished product. So all those things have happened over the years, and those helped inform some of the design principles that we had for the Exchange 2013 release. we want to make sure that we took that opportunity to basically revamp the whole user experience and make sure it was aligned with effectively the new Microsoft and the new Windows 8 design language and framework, as we sometimes call modern applications. And I'm sure you all have seen what that looks like. And a lot of that has to do with making the interface more light, more flexible, and really focus, in our case, on the content, on being able to access your emails, be able to compose your emails, and sort of have the buttons and the menus sort of fade away and only be there when you really need to use them. As I mentioned before, touch was a really important thing for us, and you're going to see in the demos that we're going to have in a bit all the work that we've done to really help you use touch in a very elegant and very intuitive way when using OWA. And we want it to also be something that is very, very similar to Outlook, because that's how people also use email. And we didn't want to create any confusion about, can I do this in Outlook, or can I do this in OWA? How do I do this here? How do I do this over there? We want to make sure that it was a very natural, very intuitive, and very consistent experience across Outlook client and OWA. As a matter of fact, you know, if you put the two side by side, in particular from the back of the room, you may even have a hard time finding some of the differences between the two, between Outlook client and OWA in 2013. We talked a little bit about this also already, but we want to really make sure that we had across devices, desktops, laptops, smartphones, and tablets, a consistent experience. So whenever you switch from one device to another, things behave the way you expect them to behave, regardless of the device, form factor, or interaction model. We also want to make sure that offline worked really well, sort of the way you expect offline to work on an Outlook client. We wanted you to have that same experience when you're using OWA, despite the fact that it runs inside the browser. And we know that email is in itself a key sort of business application, but a lot of customers also build customizations on top of emails with workflow, access to line of business applications, access to content that can be hosted inside the corporation or hosted on the internet. And we want to make sure that we also had Exchange and OWA be a platform in addition to an email system on top of which you can enable those scenarios and those applications. Last but not least, we take advantage of the fact that what we run on the data center, what we run in Office 365, is effectively the same Exchange that you can run on-premise. So a lot of the security learnings, a lot of the capacity management, high availability lessons that we had from our Office 365 experience also gets reflected in the on-premise product. As a matter of fact, the demos that we're going to be showing in just a little bit, they're all based on Exchange and OWA running on Office 365. Now, I know that for many of you, Office 365 may not be a viable solution for your customers or for your own or your own company. And there are valid reasons for why that may be the case. Having said that, I would say one of the reasons or one of the ways you can also use Office 365 is as a test lab or an eval type of scenario where you don't need to actually get a server in your data center and deploy Exchange there. You can literally just go to office365.com, sign up for an eval, and you can basically get Exchange up and running in a few minutes and then try it out, both Exchange, but OWA in particular. So that is a scenario that, you know, again, even if you're not able to use Office 365 in production, this be something that would be interesting for you to consider. So we're going to jump into demos in a second. Just to give you an idea of what you're going to see, we're going to be trying to switch between three devices. So hopefully we're going to be able to juggle that. I have a Windows 8 laptop, and I'll be primarily showing my demos on that. And Paul will switch between an iPad and an iPhone, and you're going to see how OWA behaves and looks across those three devices. So with that, let's jump to the demos. OK, so this is me logged in to OWA. And the first thing that I see here is I have a, looks like I have a reminder. Let's see what that is. I guess this is about the session that I am supposed to be at. So I think I'm here already. So just dismiss it. First thing I'm going to do is I want to send an email to Paul and another colleague. After we're done here with TechEd, I want to make sure that we have a chance to experience some different cuisines that we haven't had a chance to try yet during the week. In particular, I like Portuguese cuisine a lot, so I want to see if I can get Paul and somebody else from our team to go try something else, but they haven't had that type of cuisine before, so I need to sort of get them interested in doing that. So one thing that you can see is, just like in Outlook, I can very quickly start typing the people that I want to address to, and autocomplete comes in very quickly, resolves the name. I don't even need to type the whole name or email address. I get that autocompleted very quickly. So So as I said, I want to make sure that they actually know what that type of food will look like. So I want to attach a photo that will give them an idea of what that looks like. So I have some photos that I saved already. So I'm attaching that. One thing that is you can also do is you can literally just drag and drop to from file system to OWA, and that file just gets attached automatically. You may or may not recall, but this is something that you cannot do today in Outlook 2010. One of the reasons why we're able to do this now is a big bet that we've made in 2013 on what we call modern browsers. And those are browsers that implement the HTML5 standard, which allows for things such as drag and drop. You're going to see a number of other features in OWA that we're able to deliver because of this big bet that we've made on browsers that support HTML5. And just one more way we can attach photos is by attaching them directly into the message body. So you have different ways of communicating and creating emails with photos, whether you can have as attachments or putting them directly into the message itself. So we have that going. I also have some work-related stuff that I need to do with him. So let me get done before I'm done with my emails here. So I want to share something with him that is really sort of confidential, and I want to make sure that he doesn't pass it along to somebody else that shouldn't see these. And as you know, you can do this today in Outlook by using RMS, Rights Management Protection. You can also do that from OWA. So this is confidential, so he's not going to be able to pass this along. And the interesting thing here is I didn't need to install anything. It comes, RMS comes directly integrated out of the box with Exchange in OWA, in particular in the Office 365 scenario. So a very rich security-related scenario can be easily done now using OWA. So I'm going to send this to him. And you may notice that I actually never attached the file that I said that he should take a look at. And OWA detected that by using some natural language processing and gave me this reminder saying, wait a second, it looks like you actually meant to attach a file, but you never did. Do you really want to go ahead, or do you want to stop and add that file and then finally send the email? So let me do that, because I do want to send him that attachment with some confidential information. And it's now gone and out of the way. And with that, Paul, I think you want to show something for us as well?
Yes.
Right, so what we're looking at now is our tablet-optimized layout for Outlook Web App. And what we've built, as Eduardo alluded to earlier, is essentially one application that's designed to scale well across screens. So taking into account the screen dimensions, what input is supported on the device, whether it's a keyboard and mouse setup or whether we've detected touch support or touch interaction from the end user, we'll use those inputs to make a decision to which layout to load. In this case, I'm running an iPad 4, and so the decision has been made to load this tablet-optimized layout. Now, the vast majority of what OWA is, the data model, the business logic that's running client-side, the rendering, is all shared across all of these layouts, and we diverge primarily at the view. And so one thing that enables us to do is really ensure that all that the power of Exchange, the power of OWA, is consistently available across platforms, and we'll see that as we run through today. Another core principle beyond that consistency was just to be very thoughtful about designing for touch, not just taking desktop and shrinking it down to a smaller screen size and making you work through those kind of unintuitive, unnatural interactions. So we started with kind of from the ground up in this case. You can see the basics you'd expect. Everything is, the layout is designed to be touchable. The task bar, which is this piece we call at the bottom, is where I would navigate or conduct kind of module level actions like search. That's designed to be ergonomically easily accessible with your thumbs. The core components like the list view, as you would expect, are be here. Triage actions is something that's very important. Considering what the most common actions are from an end user standpoint and making them readily available on the surface in an intuitive way. And the swipe is one of the gestures we think is kind of most impactful and is gaining a lot of momentum in the mobile space, kind of almost as a de facto standard for how you surface actions on an item on a touch device. So we support, you know, swiping an individual item. If I wanted to swipe multiple items, I can conduct these actions on that. And the ones we've chosen to surface at a top level are the ones that our users most frequently conduct. Not surprisingly, delete is the thing that the vast majority of people are doing, you know, most of the time. Move is also relatively common. I'll go ahead and delete these two messages to clean this up. Another common triage, in kind of recognizing this pattern of look at the things we find our customers, our users doing the most and put them at the top level, we've introduced this notion of pivots. If you see at the top of the list view, when I select unread, I can quickly filter to my unread folder. So if I'm one of the, you know, quite significant number of users who uses read and unread status as my means of tracking my to-dos and what I need to accomplish for that day, we have a very quick way to get into that view and to get out of that view back into your entire mailbox. So with that kind of overview behind us, let's click on the message that Eduardo sent me earlier. If we look at the conversation experience on the right-hand reading pane, the general message is one of consistency. So the same changes that we would make on the desktop to provide photo previews in the attachment well, just those a little bit more context on the surface to keep making you that much more efficient, not having to open the attachment to see what's going to be in there. So making sure we have those kind of fundamentals covered. Next, I'll open the rights managed mail that Eduardo sent me. The interesting thing here, this is another one of those scenarios where today, with the mobile active, like in the 2010 product, where ActiveSync was our primary and only mobility story, solutions like rights management or access to your archive became very hard to provide in a consistent way because you're trying to motivate an entire ecosystem of device manufacturers, app developers to rev their implementation to support these features. With this model where OWA is running consistently across screens, you can take something like rights management and light it up everywhere on all screens right away. So I'm easily able to read rights managed mail from my tablet. I've even open a rights managed attachment from the tablet. Similarly, if I was going to compose, I could apply the permissions from the device as well. So you have that same symmetry, that same full functionality on all the client experiences. I'm One thing I forgot to do was to show the person card integration as well. So this is another one of those pieces you wouldn't typically get with kind of the ActiveSync client or the native client on an iOS device, for example, is a deeper insight into the people. So the same person card that you would access on the desktop, actually it's very similar to what you would get in Link as well, is available at a tap on the mobile device or on the tablet. And from here I can see the basic information about this person, but also browse the organization and see information that isn't typically surfaced via ActiveSync or via other protocols. Dinner does sound fun tonight, so I'm going to reply back to Eduardo. We'll go from there.
All right. So back to my laptop. So I've sent some messages already, both work-related as well as sort of our dinner plans. So now it's time for me to go to my calendar and make sure that I actually know what I have to do between now and the rest of the day and that I can organize that dinner event that I was talking about. First of all, I see that looks like I have a conflict later today because after I'm done with my session, I still need to go over the key takeaways from the week with Paul and some other colleagues, but we're supposed to do that in downtown, but the shuttle is right in the middle of that, so I guess I need to do something about it. Let me see. First of all, looks like I have two people that have accepted my meeting, but I have one no response, so looks like if we're not going to have that many people anyway, I can probably make that meeting a little shorter, because it was very easy for me to peek into the meeting and see sort of the high level information without having to get all those details. So let me make these a little shorter, and I can just literally drag things around in the calendar, and they move or they shrink or they expand in size. So I can make that like a half hour meeting as opposed to an hour and a half, so that takes care of the conflict. I think Paul may not be here at that time, as a matter of fact. He may already be at the hotel, so maybe it would be better instead that we meet over Link. We do a conference call instead of meeting face-to-face, and that's literally as easy as one click. By clicking on that online meeting, we are configuring on the back end the integration between Exchange and Link. It's going to change the location to be online, so the online information was added to the meeting request, and I think that's going to be all I need for this. So the afternoon is starting to look a little better. I will do that online meeting, then I'll take the shuttle back to my hotel, and the only thing left to do is that dinner plan that we talked about. So let me schedule, let's say, starting at 7. And I'm going to invite Paul, Sarah, and Kip. And then for the location, I hear that there are many Portuguese restaurants in the area. So I will just use Bing to see what those options are and maybe see if I can pick one that's close to the hotel where we are. I'm not super familiar with Madrid, so let me zoom in. I think we are somewhere in here. Let me zoom in a little bit more. Yeah, we actually see at the Westin. It looks like there is one restaurant that's pretty close. They looks like they have cod fish, which is something that I like a lot. So just pick this one. It must be good for us. So have the people that I want to go to, the location all set up. Let's make this a little longer, and then there you go. It's there. It's in the calendar. Bing integration is one of the things that I want to call out as something that is available in the Office 365 version of Exchange and of OWA. It's one of the few things that you do not get with the on-premise product. Everything that you see here in this demo, unless one of us mentioned as not available in the on-premise product. You should assume that's available on both on-prem as well as online. Bing integration is one of those few exceptions that I wanted to call out. So, Paul, looks like I have my calendar in good shape. Let's take a look at yours.
So now I've switched from the iPad to the iPhone. We're looking at our phone-optimized layout in this case. It should look pretty familiar to what we just saw on the tablet, and that's by design. We find, you know, in really working through this design end-to-end, that touch as an input mechanism is kind of that primary variable that influences the big differences between a mobile experience and a desktop experience. So the general layout, the functionality, is the same on this device. My ability to swipe and triage is persisted, and if I was to open a conversation, tap on the recipients of that conversation, I have that same, you know, ability to view details on an individual, browse the organization, view rights, manage content. Just as a general rule of thumb, you know, if it's supported on desktop, the desire is supported on tablet and supported on phone as well. So in this case, let me get to the meeting request I see from Eduardo. Now, these are some of the basic things that we tend to take for granted because they've always just worked in Outlook and in OAuth on the desktop, but historically don't work on the phone unless you have a true Outlook experience, one that brings together all of the different content in your calendar, in mail, in people, in tasks. And so we start to see some of that integration surface, you know, finally on like a mobile device, on iOS or on other platforms as well. One example, beyond the ability to just accept decline in line, is the ability to see conflicts without having to go and open a separate application. Let's see, it's 7 o'clock tonight. Busy night for me. This could pretty much be a recurring appointment. You know, I think I might go out to dinner. I would like to know how far I'm going to have to walk. You know, is this all the way across Madrid, or is this right next to our hotel?
That's a good question.
So I'm going to tap on the location, and this will drop me right into a map, which rendered and then went away. I'm impatient. I'll try that again.
There you go.
There's always something that has to show up. So right from in line here, I have a, as you would expect with Maps integration, the ability to zoom in, navigate this area, or also get directions from my current location. Now, my current location is Ifema, but if I was at the hotel, it'd be easy to map this out and just get a real quick sense of how far away the location is from where I am today. So a lot of these small, subtle integration points that improve your productivity, improve your efficiency on the mobile device that we want to keep lighting up. So this does look good. I'm going to go ahead and accept this meeting. I don't really need to add any comments, so I'll send the response now and head back to mail. All right.
So back to me now. So I've sent some emails. I organized my calendar. But I don't know about you, but this has been a long week for me, and I'm way behind on email. Moreover, I know that when I get back to the office on Monday, there's a lot that's going to be waiting for me to get done. And I'm a little bit worried that, you know, I may be not on top of things when I get back to the office. So I just want to do some quick triage of my inbox, make sure that if there is anything important, that I can take care of it today before I get on the plane and go back to Seattle. So if I go back to my inbox, one of the things that I typically do for, you know, remind myself of things that I have to do is I use flags. And as Paul mentioned, we have pivots on the top. He showed the unread pivot. In my case, I'm going to use the flagged pivot to see the things that I have flagged to do that I'm not done yet. And looks like he wants a trip report from me by Monday morning. It turns out that I think I'm actually done with it already. But before, I want to show this thing called action items. This is the first example, and we'll talk a little bit more about these in the throughout the session, of what we call apps. Apps for Office, in this particular case, apps for Outlook. And apps, it's called apps for Outlook because those applications, they work on Outlook and on OWA. It's a write once, run everywhere type of application. And in this case, it's one that, again, does some natural language processing, and it identified what looks like an action item. So let's take a look at that in more details. So when I click on it, it says, we think we found what looks like an action item. And it highlighted what that text that it thinks an action item is. And in this case, it is indeed an action item to make sure that I have that done by Monday morning. And I can actually take some actions from inside that application. So I can, for example, mark it as complete in this case. If it wasn't flagged before, I would be able to flag it, and then it would become a red flag so that you know I could follow up on it later. Question in the back. That's a good question. So the question, just repeat for the recording, is if the apps are language sensitive. The applications themselves, there is nothing intrinsic about the application that is language sensitive. Having said that, this application in particular, the one about action items, that one is language sensitive. And the way these applications work is they look for regular expressions in the email message, and if certain regular expressions are found, the application essentially activates. A common regular expression, for example, is URLs, which are not going to be language specific, right? So you can have an application that activates if there is any URL in the email. This one, action items, it's based on certain keywords that if they are found, they activate the application. And in this case, the keywords are language specific. These ones are all in English. So anyhow, so I'm done with one of my tasks that I had flagged for. But I think there's something else. I'm pretty sure there's something else that Paul has asked me to do, but there's nothing flagged. So I must be missing something. Let me see if I can find, and I'm going to use search to see if I can find. I think he said something about a report as well. But it's not this one, because this one I've done it already. Must be something else I'm still not finding. And what you can see here with search is, by default, we search on your current folder. That gives you results much more quickly. What I'm going to do is I'm going to expand that search to see if I can find that action item somewhere else in my inbox. And I think I just found that action item, which is he wants me to schedule a meeting next week as well to go over the trip report with our team. And what you're going to see here is yet another application that was activated. Schedule meetings, just like action items, are applications that do depend on, are language specific. So in this case, it detected that there is a meeting that I should be scheduling, and it actually provided already some suggestions, such as when the meeting should be and who should be in the at that meeting. If I click that button, I basically get a pre-populated meeting request form with some of that information already, such as the title, who should be there, and when the meeting should be. In this case, since we want to have the whole team, I'm going to do it next week, and I'm going to include the rest of our team. And there we go. So we saw flags, and we also saw search as two ways to triage items in your inbox. There's one more that I want to show, which is how we can use different ways of grouping items in your inbox. And for this particular case, what I want to show is, you know, again, it was a busy week, so there's a bunch of other emails that I got from, you know, Groupons or newsletters that they subscribe, and I'm not going to be able to read all those, and I might as well just delete them. And I need to get a quick way to go delete them. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to sort my message by who sent that to me. And I'm going to see I have a bunch of stuff from Groupon, so I'm just going to select them all. And then I have all these Redfin stuff that I really can't get to, so I'll just select them all, delete. And now I feel much better about, you know, not having a big backlog of stuff in my inbox by using these different approaches to search, triage, and following up on your action items. Paul, I think it's back to you.
Back to the tablet again. So now I'm going to take a few minutes just to kind of clean up, manage my calendar for the day. Pretty straightforward task, something we all conduct pretty regularly. Now much more capable from a mobile device standpoint. So the first thing I did was to tap on the module navigation, or the OWA navigation in the lower left-hand corner of the screen. And that brings up what we call our miniatures tiles, or basically our touch-friendly navigation model. You can see at a very top level, we're providing information about your next few appointments. Just one of those basic things again, but just addressing a common scenario. I want to quickly just find out what I have next without necessarily having to load the entire experience. In this case, I'm actually looking to manage my calendar, so I'm going to drop into the full experience. The first thing I'd like to talk about is what we ended up calling the Mojenda view. It's kind of a month/agenda view. And when we really started designing for touch, one of the things that started to stand out was, and it's generalized to all of our users, all of our customers, is just the wide variety in calendar density that we have. You know, some of us have many, many appointments on any given day. Others are a little more sparse. We have a handful of appointments in a given week. They tend to be very important. And so starting to provide views that allow not just deep insight into a day, but a clean way to have an overview of your month and an ability to drill in quickly from the mobile experience was something we desired to do. So that's something we feel like we've achieved with this layout. One of the things that's interesting, you'll see the differences if you were to look at the same view on the desktop. In this case, we have kind of a month navigation model that's again optimized for touch and assumes that you'll be swiping to navigate between months, in addition to being able to tap on the month that you see on the top of the screen. If I'm on a particular day, today, for example, I can tap on any given item in the agenda view and get that kind of next level of detail. If it's a meeting request that's tentative presently, I sure hope I have accepted this one here now. I can accept quickly. In line, it's all about minimizing that number of taps. If I wanted to actually drill in and schedule a meeting, add attendees, I can actually do that from here as well. I was up a little late last night. I could use a little extra coffee as a pick-me-up here. So why don't get together with Eduardo? So this is, you know, meeting scheduling on a touch device, again, which requires some reimagining of how meeting scheduling works. If you were to take the free busy grid, the model that we have used in OWA and Outlook historically, it doesn't translate well to a touch device, to a smaller screen where you don't have the same precision of mouse input. And so wanting to do something that really comes across and shines on that device. I'll add Eduardo here, and you'll see consistently any place I'm dealing with people, you've probably noticed whether it's in search results, whether it's composing a mail, tapping on an individual in a recipient list, there's this consistent model throughout, across all devices, across all entry points in the application, where you're always seeing a high fidelity view of people. You're seeing, you know, and it scales. Whether, in this case, I am pretty happy with just Eduardo's name, I could readily get that next level of detail or go deep into the organization. So let's see. This looks like as good a time as any. We'll just be coming off. Oh, I should have moved it to 1:15. This looks good. So I'll go ahead and send that meeting request off. Another thing that's interesting about what this is a capability of OAuth in general. Now, we've had the ability to interact with multiple calendars in previous releases, although it was limited to doing so in a side-by-side fashion. So you quickly hit a limitation or a scale point in that type of user experience. Now, sometimes it is useful. Sometimes you want to have that separation, and that will be preserved. But now you can also bring in another calendar and view that in an overlaid fashion. You can see the green is a little subtle, probably on the projection from the back of the room, but my team calendar is in green. You can see it more clearly in the agenda view, and it has now been overlaid. Becomes even more apparent the benefits of overlaying these experiences when I go to a work week style. Pretty appropriate for the density of calendar I have here. I get a really good sense of my week and have enough fidelity to kind of to not have to drill in, drill out to get what I need to do. One thing that stands out to me is that I do see spec reviews going on. Clearly, that's not something I can participate in today, but really want to know what's going on. So this is another one of those places where it's a very interactive surface that we're dealing with. So I can just easily tap on an appointment, bring up a quick peek. I want to do a little more than just figure out where this is, who's in it. I want to actually reply all to the team quickly from here. Probably took almost as much time as typing it, but here we go. In theory, that was optimizing it. All right, so now I've sent that off to the team. That's settled. The other thing I notice is that this afternoon, Eduardo scheduled some time to go over key takeaways. Now, of course, I'm not joining this actively, but one thing we did want to showcase, it's another one of these integration points that speaks to something. It's a broad theme of investment for us moving forward because we know it matters a lot to our customers, is increasingly bringing the power of these services, these experiences like Link, Exchange, and SharePoint closer together. One such example is meeting scheduling or Link integration around online meetings. You saw Eduardo schedule that earlier from a desktop. You can also schedule an online meeting from the tablet experience as well. And you can easily join right from here. So this is on this iPad, I happen to have installed the Link 2013 client. So it'll invoke that natively and just transition right to that meeting. So same would have been true on the iPhone as well. So we start to get those clean integration points and really light up that be productive anywhere you are with the full suite experience.
All right, back to me. So we've seen inbox, we've seen calendar, and we've sort of touched a little bit on people and contacts. What I want to do now is do a drill down on that other very important module of the overall OAuth experience. So if I go to the people module, a couple of things you're going to see. One is all that rich information that we've seen in other places also, of course, displayed in the people module. And I can just easily go through all my contacts. One thing that you're going to notice here also is how we're really trying to bring photos of your contacts into the surface, because we know that's one of the easiest ways for people to identify who they're trying to communicate with is through is visually, and therefore having those photos is a great way to do that. Something else that you may have noticed is some of these contacts here, not all of them, they have this little blue icon on the bottom right corner. And you probably recognize these as being from LinkedIn. So one of the things that we've done in OAuth 2013 was also trying to bring all your contact information from all the different sources that you may have. And of course, your address book, your in your Exchange environment is one of those sources, but all of us, or most of us, also have contacts in places like LinkedIn or Facebook. So what we enabled was for you to create a connection, essentially, between some of those services in Exchange, so we can pull all that information from those services into this integrated experience. Now, two things about that. One is the LinkedIn and the Facebook integration is only available on Office 365, not on Exchange on-premise. So that's exception number two. If you're counting between, you know, what's available in on-premise and what's available on Office 365. And there are also some restrictions about in which countries this service is available. So it's not something that is available everywhere. One thing else that I want to show here is, you know, if I look for Kip, who is one of my colleagues, there are actually two entries because I have him in the address book since he's also in our company, but also I have his LinkedIn contact. And that can result in duplication, and I don't know if I'm getting all the information about Kip. So one thing that we also enable you to do is to essentially link contacts. So I basically have Kip's information from address book, I have it from link. I'm gonna link them together, and that will make it look like it's just one more complete contact information from Kip. So I'm gonna link those. And now that they have been linked, if I search again for Kip, there's only gonna be one. But now it's combining the information that we have about Kip from the address book as well as what we have from LinkedIn. You can imagine if I had the Facebook integration here as well, that would be something else that we could go and link as well. So there's one more thing that I want to show, which is all my demos on my Windows 8 laptop were in what we call desktop layout, which is a layout, is a more traditional layout that is optimized for keyboard and mouse. Paul, on the other hand, using his iPad and his iPhone, he used what we call the touch layouts for those devices. And we got some feedback from customers already that they like to have that layout, the touch layout, also on Windows 8, on their Windows 8 devices in particular, because a lot of those devices are touch enabled. So we took that feedback, and one of the benefits of working on the Exchange Online Office 365 model is we can address that feedback more quickly. As a matter of fact, we've made that change already, such that if you're using your Windows 8 device and you touch on the screen, it will actually detect that touch gesture and will ask you if you want to switch to what we call the touch layout. That change has been made. It is in process of being deployed through the data center. So if you are actually to try this, let's say, on Monday, you may very well already get that experience. In the meantime, one little trick that you can use, and that's what I'm going to show here, is you can use a URL parameter, which is the layout parameter, and you can switch between the desktop mode or what we call T-wide, which is touch wide, which is the layout that we have for devices such as Surface or iPad. And now I can start using touch here on my laptop, just like Paul showed on his iPad, as a way of navigating from one module to the other, or can compose an email, and I get that same experience, but now touch optimized on my Windows 8 laptop. And if I want to switch back, all I have to do is change that URL parameter back to desktop, and that will take me back to the original layout that we've seen before. So that ends our demo.
So clear. It's hard to show everything that's changed, so we focused on a couple of highlights across the different experiences within the Outlook web app. So this is just a bit of a recap for convenience sake, but the big overarching investments are, we're, you know, in that new visual look and feel, that alignment with the rest of Office and with Windows to kind of achieve that consistency and that, you know, focus on typography and on content, and in really building from the ground up, which we literally did in rewriting the application for touch and for mobile. From a functionality standpoint, in Mail, it's a lot about making the things that we all do every day many times that much more efficient. You know, if you delete 50 mails a day, having that be one click away or while you're hovering versus two clicks away or a right click and a move is that much cleaner. Or having an inline compose model that is a second and a half faster to load or puts draft management right in the conversation. We wanted to make those pieces better. And then a couple of things we didn't have a chance to show today is like integration with the Office web apps. The ability to open an attachment, even if I don't have a local install of Office, and use the Office web apps to view that and work with that. Or in search, the ability to see, you know, not just a vanilla or plain query, but get suggestions around, you know, people that I'm likely to be searching for, or people that from whom I want to see their email, because we know that's a very common search pattern. You don't have to know advanced query syntax to do that. So from a calendar, you know, big emphasis was on new views that are more scalable, give us the flexibility we need if we have a very dense calendar or if we have a more sparse calendar, allow you to kind of gravitate to the one that works for you as a user, bring in multiple calendars and really make that work. And they made some great improvements to calendar sharing as well. I've really kind of simplified the end user and IT flow around that. That's worth checking out if that's an important scenario to you. And again, the quick theme is similar to that for Mail, is just recognize the things that we do most often that are most important to us and bring those up to the surface of the application. Make more things just one tap, one click away, and do not bury the most important stuff. You know, put the thing that I do once every 3 weeks two or three clicks away instead. And from people, it's a lot about connecting to the outside world, giving you that holistic perspective on your list, and being able to do so in a way that doesn't kind of convolute, complicate your store. So being able to link to information about a person in Facebook and LinkedIn without actually having that, it's wrong to call it pollute your local store, but it keeps the storage of those items separate, yet gives the end user a view that is simple and unified. It's kind of the best of both worlds in that approach. And yes, photos everywhere, and a consistent approach for like how you show more information about a person and service the ability to chat with them.
Cool. So we talked about and we showed a lot of the sort of end user features, and what we want to do now is sort of talk a little bit about some of the behind the scenes and how certain elements of OWA 2013 work, as well as some of the admin controls that we have in place to allow you to customize, protect, lock down certain aspects of the OWA 2013 application. We have a number of slides to go through. Some of those we're just going to skip through very quickly just in the interest of time and make sure that we have time left to take questions. So if it feels that we're, you know, rushing a little bit, that's the main reason. The slides will be available also for download after today, so you can always do that. And there's also a number of links to additional information about the content that we're about to cover. So we saw some of the apps already during the demo. We saw the action item, the suggested meetings, the Bing integration. All those applications come is installed out of the box. As I've mentioned, they work across OWA and Outlook, so it's not like you have to have different versions of those apps. And we also talked a little bit about how those applications are activated. One thing that we didn't talk about was the line of business scenario, which is where you directly or through some ISV, you can have very specific vertical-based, for example, applications that you can develop and integrate with OWA. Internally, inside Microsoft, for example, we use a tool called Product Studio as a database to log bugs and so on. So we actually have a Product Studio app that integrates with Outlook and with OWA, such that if I send Paul an email that has the bug number in the subject, all the information about the bug gets pulled from the database automatically and shows up in his email, in his inbox, without any additional action from me, the sender, nor from him, the recipient. And you can imagine how, you know, you can integrate with things like CRM, back office type of applications, and so on. I'm not going to jump a lot into the details here, but the key thing that I want to call out is the applications you host anywhere you want. You can host them on-premise. You can host them on some cloud provider. The application itself does not run on Exchange. It doesn't run on the Exchange server. All you have to do on the Exchange server is essentially register a manifest that describes where the application resides, what it should be called, and so on. And all the logic, all the code, all the binaries, they can reside anywhere you feel like it should be. And again, links here to more details about how this particular functionality works in Outlook. There was a point at the beginning about security. So one thing that I should mention here is you as an admin, you can decide where the applications come from. You can install applications on behalf of users or on behalf of the entire organization. And you can also block users from installing apps altogether. And you can do that both from the Exchange Admin Center, which is the web-based UI for managing Exchange, as well as using PowerShell commandlets, as you can see on the screen. Offline is something else that we invested a lot of time on in the OWA 2013 release. And offline is something that is really becoming more and more part of the modern browser technologies. There's a setting in OWA, and this shows you what that UI looks like, where the end user can turn on and turn off offline access. So it's a user-based, browser-based session. What that does when you turn that on is we start using what we call an offline store, which is based on the browser, so IE10 or Chrome or Firefox. They basically have a local database that then we use to store all your items, inbox, calendar, contacts, and then all the activities that you perform while you're offline. So for example, if you compose a message, if you accept a meeting request, all those activities that you perform, they go into what we call a queue, an activity queue, which is all on that offline store running inside your browser. And the moment you reconnect from the client to the server, we basically replay all those items in the activity queue so that you can synchronize your mailbox between the browser and the Exchange server. A little bit more details about how that works. I'm not going to spend too much time here. The other thing I want to call out is, again, this is something that you as an admin, you can also configure, depending on the needs of your organization, from allowing offline to be configured on any computer whatsoever to only computers that users denominate as being private, meaning, you know, something that a computer that you don't share with somebody else. Or you can go all the way and say, you know what, for security reasons, I want to disable offline in all cases, something else that you can do as well. Real quick on deployment, we're not really going to talk about how you deploy Exchange. There have been other sessions about that already in the conference. But we want to talk about some things to be aware of if you're thinking about deploying Exchange 2013 and OWA 2013. So they don't come as surprises. So one of the things that we mentioned was this big bet that we're making on modern browsers. And it enables us to do a number of things. We saw drag and drop of files that's enabled by HTML5. We saw offline, that's a new technology that's emerging in browsers. And browsers also have spell checkers. Most of the modern browsers have built-in spell checkers. So we made a decision to essentially take away the spell checker that was built in OWA in previous releases, and now we only rely on the spell checker functionality provided by browsers. So what that specifically means is if you use IE8 or IE9, you're not going to get the spell checker. So something to be aware of. There are also some features that you had in 2010, in OWA 2010, that are currently not supported in OWA 2013. Some of them we're actively looking at, and you can expect that some of them will be available in some future version of OWA 2013, but they are not available right now. S/MIME, the ability to send and receive S/MIME encrypted emails, for example, something that a lot of people need. It's not something that we have in OWA at this point. Public folders is something that we have some limited capability today in OWA. You can add public folders by using favorites, but you don't have the rich functionality that was available before for public folders in OWA. Similar with shared email folders and DL moderation. From a browser point of view, we mentioned already spell checker. There are some other limitations depending on which browser and which OS you're running into. So you should take a look at this browser support matrix to see all the details. But it basically boils down to the more recent the OS, the more recent the browser, the best experience you're going to get. IE7 in particular does not get the experience that you saw here during the demo. It gets what we call OWA Lite, which is a pared down, more basic version of OWA. And recently, we announced that Office 365 will end of life IE8 next year. So IE8 is something that's fully supported today in OWA 2013, but will stop being supported by April of next year. So something else to be aware of. We're getting short on time, so I'm just going to skip most of these. Again, those are going to be available to you after this session, and we're just going to wrap up now.
Great. So do we want to go to the next? Yes. So this is, more of a reference slide, but this captures, again, not every single new feature, but the more substantive kind of new functionality that's come in this release across the different modules. So this is at a feature level, and then there are these overarching investments that have been made, again, around first and foremost being great on mobile, being great on tablet, phone, as well as running offline in these experiences. And one thing we didn't have a chance to talk about today that's very important to us is a kind of a horizontal bet across the product is accessibility, something we feel is very, very important in the premium version of our product, not just the light version, which has historically been the accessibility story for Exchange. So we've invested a lot in ARIA support, ARIA compliance around OWA, and we'll continue to do so as well. So one thing, since we had to move past the manageability section relatively quickly, if you didn't have a chance to go to the managed availability session at TechEd, I would encourage you to view that post conference. That's one of those great areas where the investments we make in Office 365, running our own product, really accrue to the on-premise product. That managed availability service is the same foundation on which we're running the probes, the recovery actions that we define in the data center and that stop us from getting woken up at night because we're pretty highly incented to make that better. Generally speaking, our team's on call in the data center. So it's the right model. We're accountable for the ability of our product to run at scale, to be easy to monitor, determine the health, and to take steps on. And so definitely would encourage you to read up on that because it applies not just to OWA, but to the other protocols as well.
Great. So we have a number of additional resources on the slide, so I would encourage you to take a look at those when you have a chance, when you're back in the office next week. Even more resources. And then lastly, I would encourage you to take the time after this session to provide us feedback on the session, what worked well for you, what we can do better next time. So it's something that I would definitely encourage you to do. And with that, I think we wrap up. And you know, if folks have questions, that would be a great time to go over those questions now. So just raise your hand if you have any questions.
Sure. And one thing I can do, since we didn't talk to it before questions, is tee up the security comment. I think we'll stick around for a more detailed discussion, but at a very kind of top framework level. I think we can think about security for OWA and more generally for Exchange on a couple dimensions. There's a design principle, which is, you know, first and foremost the key to getting security right. Every feature that we design, every scenario that we design, goes through an internal process of threat modeling. So this is kind of the build it secure out of the box. We have a security team that works with us to kind of analyze the design, analyze the implementation for threats, for vulnerabilities ahead of time. You know, fix those before it goes in. Now, when it gets to actually, you know, now you have the product that we've done our best to make secure out of the box. How do you deploy that? You know, encryption and authentication are fairly standard for a web application. You know, it's SSL over the wire. There's a variety of authentication options. Some out of the box, two-factor auth works with partner solutions. Once you're into the workload, we saw rights management today. That's something where the OWA experience is very clean from an end user standpoint if rights management is important to you. SMIME, Eduardo alluded to, is something that's not in there right now, but it's something we feel a very strong commitment around. So there's a lot of investment in that kind of content level encryption. And lastly, you have all the various tweaks as an administrator around OWA policy. You saw disabling, enabling offline, controlling apps. That extends beyond that to, you know, attachment management policies. You can define for a given attachment type, can I download it and open it locally? Is it blocked entirely? Do I have to view it on the web using the Outlook web apps? You have a number of those controls all the way down to a pretty fine level of granularity. So, sorry, that's my 2 minutes on OWA security. There's really quite a bit there.
Yeah, cool. So I think you had a question? Yes.
Yes. So the 2013 experience that we're showing requires the user to be on a 2013 mailbox. Now you can, we do support coexistence with the 2007 environment. You would stand up a 2013 CAS, and that will do a single sign-on redirect to the existing 2007 environment. So it is clean from an end user standpoint, but the 2007 users would continue to see 2007 OWA until their mailbox is migrated over. And then, you know, magically, that 2013 client access server sees that, you know, they're no longer on 2007, they're homed on this 2013 mailbox server, I'm gonna proxy there instead and give them the new experience. So it is you do have to have that migration, that move.
There was a session 2 days ago, I think, on migration and coexistence. So maybe something that you wanna take a look at after the conference if you have a chance. Question in the back?
You know, a lot of that depends on the customer need. I think it's certainly, Outlook does so many things and does them very well. OWA doesn't, you know, we have offline support, but it is not the breadth of offline support, all of your mail. It's a more limited set of your mail that's intended to keep you functional, you know, between bouts of, you know, disconnection. There are, you know, things like quick actions in Outlook 2013 or a longer tail of kind of customizability around the list view. So there's a lot of things that can matter a lot to customers that make me hesitant to say, yes, OWA can work for you, but we do find increasingly, you know, with Office 365 as an example, there are customers who find it sufficient. So it's very kind of need-based, and it's designed to be a great companion experience, but also it is a goal that it works great, and it is what a customer needs if their choice is to be fully productive on the web. And so we'll continue to make investments to make the You know, the pieces that must get better, better. And some of those are already landing today. And so I hope that answers your question. Okay.
And one of the things that we do to sort of make sure that we're bridging that gap, in particular for the most important, the most common use features, is on a day-to-day basis, we use OWA as our primary email client. And not only that, we sort of give people a hard time if, let's say, if I go to Paul's office and I see him using Outlook instead of using OWA, I'll give him a hard time because if there are reasons why he does that, that's something we should take into account as maybe it's something that we should do in the next version of OWA to further bridge that gap between the two. More questions? Cool. So again, we'll stick around outside for a little longer. So if people want to come there and ask us some questions, we'll be there. Thanks again. I hope you enjoyed the session, and I hope you enjoyed the rest of TechEd.
Thank you very much.